Good morning. How's everyone doing? All right. There we go. I'm not going to take anything away from what Julia is going to share this morning with all the folks whom we love here, because I'm sure she's going to acknowledge all of you who we've known all of these years. But as Pastor Tim was talking about the children that we've been reaching over the years, in the city of Rochester, and he so clearly, so excellently articulated this about how they have every strike against them, but we say God overrules and overrides all of that. But I said this to him after after I Am Rochester, when we showed it last week at our church, Bethel Christian Fellowship, I looked at him and I said, Tim, this is all your fault. And what I meant by that was all that, in great measure, all that we have become is a result of Pastor Tim and Lori over the years, especially the beginning of our lives as Christians. And we owe you so much. The number one thing that there are four things I could talk about. This is not my time to talk, but I'm going to say this one. The number one thing that I learned from you that I live to this very day, and I'm going to start, I'm not going to cry, okay? I learned perseverance from you. I learned perseverance. There are others, but this is not my time, but I learned perseverance, and it means a lot to me to this very day. And we reach out to all the children in the city of Rochester with what God has allowed us to persevere through. And I'm going to do this really quickly because I really would like to give people a taste of what we call urban innocence. You don't hear very much about what God is doing in the city because we don't expect people who don't know Jesus to talk about him in the news. But when I went to Brockport, I studied journalism. Journalism was my major, and I studied to become a good news reporter. And after I decided to follow Jesus, I became a good news reporter. And so we like to bring good news. And I put together a little bit of a booklet. It's called B.E. Bites. The name of our ministry is Bethel Express Bites, and as in sound bites. And these are real conversations that I've had with kids. I'm going to read three of them to you. And these are so cute, too. This young man was 10. And I play drums. He said, Mike Peace, can you teach me how to play drums? So I said, well, why do you want to learn how to play drums? He said, because you look cool when you play drums. I said, that's because I am cool. He said, nah, it's got to be the drums. I told you it's urban innocence, but they keep it real, though. The second one is this little girl. She was 9, and I knew her. She's referring to her sister who grew up in our ministry and is married the whole 9. And she came up to me, and she says, Mike Peace, my sister is pregnant. So I said, that's great. She said, it's going to be a girl. I said, well, how do you know? She says, well, she already has a boy. And the last one is the most important, which is actually my favorite. I have lots of them in here, but this one is, this little girl was 8. And she said to me, she says, you know, Mike Peace, if you grow your hair out, you might look cute. So I said, well, I don't have to look cute. I'm married. She said, that's not why you're married. I said, well, what is it then? She said, you see, God felt sorry for you, so he blessed you with Miss Julia. Ain't he good? I guess so. But I love Julia so much for so many reasons, obviously. We've been married for 35 years, two months, and one day today. We've had a very challenging journey together because of the kind of ministry that we do. We've traveled the country. I've been to 45 of the 50 states doing ministry, pretty much from the gutter. I know I've been in the music industry, but that allowed us to be in the streets like that, with death threats, the gangs, the Crips, the Bloods, the Cholos, the Latin Kings, the El Rookers, all those gangs and many others and other things that we've seen in the streets. God has allowed us to be there. And one day we were having this conversation. It was about 16 years ago at this point. And it was just crazy. We were just dealing with some crazy stuff because that's, you know, it wasn't us, but what we had to deal with because of what the Lord was allowing us to do. And I said to Julie, I said, you know, if I had called me, I would have called me to easy. All right. But God did not call me or us to easy. He called us to obedience. And I just wanted to say this to all of you, but and to Julie as well, that we're grateful to the Lord for the prayers, and I would not be able to do this journey, the part that the Lord has allowed me to do with my call, without anyone but Julia. She has been a supporter, a backup, you know. Sometimes I've had to back her up because she'll get in the face of these gang members, and I'm like, I'm going to have to beat those guys up, you know. But anyway, I'm so grateful that she has allowed us. She has not ever given me one day of challenge with all of we've had to feel and all that we've had to deal with in ministry. So it is my pleasure to announce to you my boo, straight out of the hood. This is Julia Pease.
Hey, could you get my water? Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. I just want to begin that it is certainly a blessing and a pleasure to be here. You know, when I came to this area at Rockport State, almost 40 years ago, you know, I came as a broken woman. I was headed straight to hell, really, when you look at that. And then there's this man that was pursuing me, and I'm like, what is it with this guy? Do you know Jesus? He asked me all these questions. And then to top it off, I ended up giving him my address. Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah, right. And he actually came to my house, although they were traveling at two, and there was these two men, Rick Rocco and Tim Lindsay. And because of that visit, I had a visitation. And see, Tiffany and Jennifer don't realize that I'm the sister from another mister, because I had a wonderful father. He passed away in 2019. But it wasn't until a year and a half ago that I realized we all look for our identity. And I realized my identity comes from Tim Lindsay, that he was the one that helped birth me into the kingdom. And you know, at Golden Heights, it was prophesied about it, and it was Michael and I and Tanya and someone else. I don't remember, but I do remember what was said to me. It was said that I would reach hundreds and thousands of people. I'm like, I know Billy Graham. I'm not that. But I realized God sets us up. He sets us up, and we don't know how it's going to do, but I was blessed to be a part of a television show called A Different View, with four other beautiful, dynamic ladies. Jerry Barracks, I don't know if you've known her. She's an incredible evangelist. I'm like a mom to me. Jackie Davis from Lockport. I know she does radio and things there. And a wonderful woman of God, such a psalmist. Delia Knox. Are you familiar with Delia Knox and her story of being in a wheelchair for 23 years and being able to walk? God healed her after 23 years. And then my a good friend of mine, Jill Kelly, the wife of Jim Kelly, that we did this show together for 5 years, of women that were linked together. And we spoke biblical truths. And I realized that television show reached 66 nations. And so that's how God does things. He multiplies. But I say all this because of work we've done, that it's because of you. And he's such a humble man. But we are part of his fruit. And good fruit produces good fruit when you stay with the Lord, when you persevere. We've understood what it is to have a life of perseverance. We understood that, yes, we could have gone the easy route. Could have been a famous rapper, making a whole lot of money. But you know what? Such is the kingdom of God, that a soul is worth more than what any man could do for you. Whatever pocket could be lined, God's kingdom is the best to operate. And So I'm grateful for 38 years ago having that first conversation of understanding that as you pursued me, God was pursuing me through his Holy Spirit operating through you and through your obedience. And because of that, we have many fathers and I have loads of many, spiritual mothers, but I think I had always taken your spiritual dads. I never recognized who mine was. So Tim, Pastor Tim, that's who you are to me. That's who you are to the Peace family. And you know, when we stand before God, this man, God's just blessed you so much. You have a beautiful family. You have created a legacy that will touch the world. You have been able through the leadership and through the partnership of your congregation to make a statement to this area and region that you're in. That it's just not this little here for and no more, but you desired and traveled far to reach the world, to reach the kingdom for the incredible freedom of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So thank you so much for not living. You are a builder. You know, when I first started, people like, oh, you're in some cult. Well, you know what? That word is in the word that I would describe you. You were a cultivator. You do construction, you build, and you build lives, and you help build mine, you help solidify mine. You gave me a foundation that was strong. And I'm thankful for you, I'm thankful for Golden Heights, because they showed us how to endure. And you showed us how to be a good soldier, endure hardness as a good soldier would. And I'm grateful to be in the army of God, and thank you, thank you, thank you for being the head that showed me the head of my life, of my salvation. So there's always, and very quickly, so my friend who sells jewelry dropped these off 5 for me today. So this, I love hearts, and you are part of my heart. And so this is for Lori. And so when you come to the Lord, there are people that mother you. Not smother, mother. We're not smotherers. We're not supposed to smother and stifle, but we're supposed to love and encourage. And, you know, when I knew that I was going to go to Rochester, I was actually ended up homeless. And I came, and Doug and Katie Egling took me in. And I was homeless for about maybe, I was here for about 2 weeks, maybe. But when I was homeless, you took me in, Katie. But even that, the friendship that we have and have, we don't see each other. But I wanted to give you and leave a part of my heart with you and of recognizing what a blessing you were to my life. She was my matron of honor in our wedding. 450 people came to see us kiss for the first time. Amen. Amen. And my girl was right there beside me, encouraging me, loving me. Thank you so much. Thank you. Now that it's all that's done, can you just join with me in a word of prayer? Father, we thank you so much for today. We thank you, Lord God, that you've given us breath to sing and praise you. And thank you for the praise reports, Lord God. Let them keep coming in, because one of the things I learned to walk in being from my time of growing up here in this area was, Lord, you desire the miraculous. You desire not to wait till we're in our 50s and 60s because we would see people of that age doing it. But Lord, it is now, even for the children, Lord God, we pray your anointing upon them, that you would grow them up, Lord God, that they would expect to see people healed, that they are vessels of who you are, Lord God, of their spirit, Holy Spirit dwelling within them. And so, Lord, we thank you for this day. I pray that you would bless the word that comes before you. And, Lord, please anoint me and keep me together in Jesus' name. Amen. So, excuse me. One of the things, people had marked about my, shoes, my shoes. Well, I, and my clothes, well, you know, a woman always wants to look slim, so they would always wear black. And so I told my husband I was going shopping one day. He says, doesn't matter, you're only going to buy something black. And I said, okay, I'm going to show him. Being that my father was Puerto Rican and tropical and everything, so I start coming out with loud clothes. And then I had a mother in the Lord who went on to be with the Lord in 2016, but her granddaughter actually left me her shoes, all her shoes. And last year when I was speaking at my church for Mother's Day, I wanted her shoes and I couldn't get them because I couldn't find them. I don't know what happened to it when we did a move that never ended. It took 3 months. And so I said, okay, I want shoes. And so I wanted something sparkle because I'm a bling girl. So I got these shoes, and it's in honor of her. But when I wore them, Pastor Tim said, hey, some of your jewels are falling out. In fact, Michael, there's one right in front of you. You see it? And the Lord spoke to me today that in our lives, we could either pick up gravel or we could pick up jewels. You look for the good that people have to offer that are jewels, you know, that go, oh, man, that is so good. You know, and you could just keep adding them. You know why? Because that jewel is what makes us who we are. The wisdom that we have. And I know that moms, we're supposed to have lots of wisdom. But my message today is, yes, it is amazing to be a mother. I've been blessed with one son. But I've been blessed with so many other spiritual children. And now I had one call me yesterday, Grandma. I'm like, okay. Come on, JD, let's go. He's getting a ring this year. I'm like, okay. But I wanted to say that I believe that my message today is from everyone. You don't have to have physical children in order to not experience what a mother does. And that's the view I take it. There are some that have lost children. We carried all. Michael was in the adoption and foster care. And we believe that God has called us to love whomever as a mom and as a dad. But I always say that I didn't have to birth you to whoop you. Okay? So that's how the kids in BE, they like, you ain't my mother. Oh yeah, but I'm not your physical mother, but don't mess with me, girl. Okay, because I'll show you a thing or two. So I just want to begin with a few quotes, okay, mom quotes, because today, and it says, you never realize how weird you are until you have a kid that acts just like you. And sometimes you say, I can't wait till they have a child, a daughter, so that they can experience what I experienced with them. There's only one pretty child in the world, and every mother has it. It is never easy being a mother. If it were easy, fathers would do it. I can't believe how much like my mother I turned out. I feel sorry for my kids. And the last one is, raising a kid is pure joy and part guerrilla warfare. And I've been known to be called Mama Bear because you know what? A bear, it sounds nice, but in reality, a Mama Bear will tear you and eat you up if you mess with her kids. And that's the frame of mind that usually I am. And I just love our children. I'm so, so grateful for them. But what I was thinking of today is about light. And I'll say why I say that, because, you know, all women have homes, and there's a way that you establish it, and light has a lot to do with it. There are three components of light, because we have the natural light that we have from sunshine, and you see everything, and it's reflective. But then in our homes, we have to have certain zones of lighting. So we have ambient. And ambient is when light is evenly distributed and illuminates every entire rooms. It's produced by light that is directed upwards toward the ceiling or by luminaries that emit the light evenly to all sides. It provides fundamental brightness, eyes that need orientation, and evens out sharp differences and brightness within a room. Doesn't that seem like us, that they're talking about us? The brightness, having an eye, distinction, sharpness in order to illuminate. It helps with eye adaption, and less balanced ambient lighting creates a comfortable atmosphere that enhances your sense of well-being. To me, that's what we desire to do as women of light, to enhance somebody's well-being, to know that they're in a safe place, to know that they're with a safe person, that no matter what darkness that has come upon them, there's light that they're standing in the presence of, that is there to embrace them, to love them, to help guard and gird them. Zone lighting provides a large amount of light needed for specific areas. Now, we live on the corner of Bay and Niagara, and it's a Habitat for Humanity, and they've got a house, and they've gotten better with how they construct them. But this one was constructed with, in the living room, no direct access to a light up top. So we do everything with lamps. And we have a corner in the room where the TV is, so it's a slanted area. And it you know how empty it is back there? But there's no light. So I had gotten a, we had a promise with our couch, so they gave us some credit. And I bought this humongous, Michael's living it, lamp that has five arms to it. You know, you can adjust it and everything. And my husband, he's so sweet, he gets me, I can't reach behind to turn it on, but he found something that I could just switch it on. And it makes such a difference in my house that I could see things, you know, and that, or you can do different zones, like you have heating. Well, I have a zone of light where if I just want to read, there's my light. If I need to do other things, but I just love light. I don't, it's like going on a cruise and going, if you ever gone on a cruise and you chose the inner, compartment instead of the outer. Our first cruise, we did that. We never did it again. Because it's always dark, always dark. And there's something about seeing that seaside and waking up. You couldn't open the window, but there was light. And so that was the best part about going on a cruise. And then you have mood lighting, which complements all these things. But we denote it as being setting the mood, like a moonlight dinner, a moon, you know, those certain things, or a candlelight dinner, or candlelight time together, that sets the mood because there's purposes behind it, you know. And so the mood light, it creates exceptional atmosphere. It shines but provides little illumination. It represents coziness, romanticism, fascination, and passion. And I don't know, are you passionate? And what are you passionate about, right? You know, we so much confuse it with sexual terms, that word passion, you know. But God has a passion for us. I'm so thankful that he had a passion enough to give his son for us, that we may be here, that we may be vessels of honor, that we can rejoice in knowing that we have an eternal home we're going to. You know what? And the passion is, and I realized it was a passion that was transferred to me, that you want your family to know Jesus. You want to see your family in heaven. And praise God, my dad and my sister that passed away, I know where they're at. I know I'll see them again. And I thank God because it was passion. It was from his heart to my heart to know. And now, you know what? Even now, there's such an urgency when the Holy Spirit is working, especially for your kids. I had one with my son. It was an urgency. And it was the Holy Spirit. And I love that Holy Spirit hound, you know, because he's like, get going, girl. You need to do this, you know. And I love it because it made the difference in an area in my son's life just recently. You know, and he knew that God was watching out for him. Why? Because the passion of a mother or someone that cares. And he has plenty of mothers that didn't birth him, but treat him like they're his. You know, it's like that neighborhood when you grew up, everybody was your mother. You got in trouble. And then you know what's even worse is when your father or mother gave them permission to whip you. All right? I mean, we could go anywhere. Anywhere. It's like, man, all right? And then, you know, my parents, they were selective to where we went. You know, and it was embarrassing because I'm going to bring it to my mom. We did not, you know, she had these pants that she was ahead of her time. They were either high waters. So we would say, mommy, pull the pants down or pull the shoes up. One of those things has to happen. You know, but you know what? And she could have pitched for the Yankees. You know, I think she was really Australian because we did not spare the rod was not spared in our home. All right. And so my mom would throw a shoe and it could go around the corner and hit you and somehow find its way back to her, that if you didn't do right, she had it again, you know, but it kept coming back, you know. And I've been blessed with my mom. She's 83 and she's so funny. You know, it's funny to see her now. But you know why? Because she's really learning to come into her own. Back in the day, the husbands did everything. You know, my mom didn't know anything about taking care of bills. She said, Roberto, I want this. Roberto, I want that. And you know, he would do it. But my sister who's watch, helping with her and lives with her, is showing her that God has a plan for all of us and seasons and phases that he desires to bring to us. That's why I always say, if you were ever a mouse, you know, mousy personality, God doesn't want you to remain there. You know why? Because if you remain there, what difference do you make? I mean, it's nice you see a lovely person, but you know what? God wants us to use our mouths to affect people. You know what? And you know what? It's secretly, I'm going to let you in on a secret. Not secretly, openly, on a secret. He desires us all to roar. He desires us to be lamb, not be a lamb, but to roar like a lion. Women need that. They need to hear the roar of a lion right now, because they're here listening to everything else. They're listening to the roar of what's happening in Washington and politically, you know, and educationally, where our children, you know, we need, it's time to roar. It's time to say, Lord, I'm gonna speak on your behalf. And I'm just so grateful that, we're in a point where he's given us that freedom and liberty. And that it's even, when I watch you and the women come, you know, my husband and I were sent out as a couple. And it's good to see women active and doing things. You know, and to be entrusted in certain positions. And I love that, because I think of some of my favorite people in the Bible. One of them is Deborah. And Deborah was a mom. But I liked how she sat under the tree and the nation came to her for advice. Men came to her. It wasn't just a one-on-one thing, or I'm ministering to the moms, or I'm ministering to women. I'm ministering to the nation. God has called us, given us a nation, national call, a call to the nation. He's given us international calls. Some of you, you have it. There's an international call on your life that God said he's waiting for you to step into it. It may be going on your first mission trip, but you won't know until you get there. I went and knew, no, I'm not really called that way. But it did something to me, you know, that helped me involve myself in what we do here. You know, our Judea is Rochester, the city of Rochester. But I don't, you know, God has something for us nationally. And I think when we stop ministering, that's what we'll do, because we realize God's not done with us with what he wants to do with us in the city. And I just like how he's fashioned, you know, some of the women in the Bible. When you look at, when I look at Deborah, I'm like, she was fast thinking. God has enabled us to be fast thinking women. You know what I mean? That she even prophetic. He wants us to walk in the sense of the Holy Spirit, being sensitive to saying, you know what? He's got the gifts of the Spirit flowing through us. Let's use them. Let's like get bold. My color choices are bold. But you know what? It makes you stand out. So when you say bold things, it makes you stand out. And they go, who is she? But even though it may look weird from the start, people will go, who is that woman? That has always been my, Lord, let people ask, who is that woman? Lord, let a man be open to receive the word of the Lord that I have. And I've been able to minister to people, you know, the word of the Lord, because that's his gifting. He gives it for all of us to be mouthpieces. And I think of Elizabeth and how somehow I still don't understand how she knew that Mary was pregnant. But Mary came to her and Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant. Correct? Am I Bible scholars? But it was the Holy Spirit. And when John leapt in her womb, she knew the words to say to Mary. Elizabeth knew the words to say to Mary, because Mary was in a difficult place. Pregnant, not married. At that point where she was pregnant, but married. How do you explain this? And you know, when women go through a hard time, we've got lots of girls that are going through hard times that they need an Elizabeth to encourage them, to speak a word, to help them hang on. We've got so many young people close to suicide, close to depression. And you know what? Not, this is not to come against depression, but I believe sometimes God really would like us to be healed of things without having a psychologist tell you, well, you need this and you need that, and pump them up where they can't even talk or have their own mind. That's what our roles are, because God has called us to be a shepherd, not of a church, but of young people or women. There are women that are lost. I was lost, and thank God I had Katie. Thank you, Katie, my beautiful lady. You know, and so I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that that was it. That was it for me to know that. So my biggest thing that I wanted to talk to you, because I know that I was talking about light. But one thing I did want to say about Mary. You know, when Mary, and it talks about when Mary, John 2, when it talks about Jesus and the wedding of Cana, and she said, Jesus, they're out of wine. And he said, woman, what does that have to do with me? And first of all, if my son called me woman, we're throwing down. I might have been arrested for child abuse right then. All right. But then when you study it, because that always got to me, woman, I understood that she took the lead, understanding that he needed to separate. He needed to be separate from her so that people wouldn't see that it was just exclusive to family, that she would kind of squeeze on his anointing of what God wanted to do. So you know how we come in and we say things really fast because we're ahead. Women are ahead. We're ahead of our time. And sometimes we're ahead of timing, but God works it all together for the good for those that love God and are called according to his purpose. So I understand that. But I wanted to focus on this. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And there was a minister of the word who was in Russia, and he went to visit an archaeologist, and he wanted to know about, he saw these lamps, and he said, wow, it was a rare lamp, and he's thinking, wow, this is so rare, and he has them that I could buy one. And the guy tells him, this is a Herodian lamp. He said, it's not rare at all. He said, that was their only source of light. And so I bought a simile of it. Now, I'm going to my Wizard of Oz days, okay? Remember Wizard of Oz when they sold the Great Oz? This is not a gravy boat. It is a Herodian lamp. Just want you to know that. I had to have something that, you know, they walked around with little clay pots, little lamps, you know, and they would put oil in it, and they'd have the wick, and they would... It would the only source of illumination, but you had to have a whole bunch of them in order to light a room, you know. So when we say neither will they put it on a candle under a bushel, but on a candlestick, it wasn't the candles that we think of now, which are really cool. But now we have everything else, flashlights and electricity. So this is not a gravy boat. Again, I repeat. It is a Herodian lamp. And so they would walk around with this lamp, you know, but it's amazing what a little light can do you. And it really is amazing. And I'm reminded of the first attack on one of the centers. I think it was the World Trade Center the first time, all right, that they had to evacuate, and there was smoke, and there was one man who had a Timex watch. Remember the Indiglo watches? And they said that lamp, that little glow on his watch, guided them down the steps. That little light. So it's, remember that this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. My husband, my sister sent me a thing. Don't let my brother-in-law sing this song, This Little Light of Mine. Because she showed me a picture of a gas tank that's empty. I'd get ready to go to work, and my gas tank was empty. And so it made me realize that, you know, God wants us to be filled. You know, he said you could go, this archaeologist said you could go anywhere in Israel and dig up one. Very easy to dig up. And it says that us being that candle, that oil, the miracle is that God has chosen us as women and as men, that his Holy Spirit is going to dwell with us. that he's within us. And the interesting thing about the oil, we remember the story of the 10 virgins and the 5 virgins, you know, and 5 weren't ready. But you know what? Imagine, they were not ready for the bridegroom. But if we don't keep our oil filled up, we're not ready for the person that needs to receive what God wants to give them. The truth, freedom, liberty, love, God's grace. Those are things that he wants us to be filled with. And you know what? When you dig that wick in that oil, you know what? It's going to burn brightly. That's why I like shining, because my shoes are evident. It just shows me as a symbolic picture of God's love, his grace, his wisdom is multifaceted, multidimensional. There's no ending to what he has. So this is just a taste. And I was, Masonite, somebody, what's the lady that showed me? Morganite. You know, and it's amazing the things that God has that are represented in heaven that have not just been, have just been revealed of what he has for us here on earth. The preciousness. And so we could dig for gravel or we could dig for Morganite. We could dig for diamonds. You know what? But it all, God says, dig for the jewels. Dig for the jewels of his persona. Dig for the jewels of what his grace has done for you. Dig for the jewels of the wisdom that he shared with you. I have to choose to give jewels out. So if I'm going to talk to somebody, I'm like, you may not want to hear it, but you'll see it as a jewel later on. You know what? I'm tough like I am. Because I tell the kids, you may not like me now, but when you get certain age, you'll say, that lady was right. And then you'll refer to me as Mama Julia. You know, there's so people that are so missing so much. He was exhorting us. Jesus was exhorting us. He was telling us, you know what? Not only is the oil there, but it's the oil of his grace, the oil of his power. Says, you know what? You have miracles going through you. You have miracles. We've seen it. You know what? And you only can do the miracle if you trust for it. You can only prophesy if you trust for it. Why? By stepping out with your faith. Because he's faithful. He is faithful to you by the measure of faith that you have. So even that mustard seed, I just love that mustard seed because what? It grows to a huge tree. And it goes on a hot dog afterwards. You get to enjoy it. You get to enjoy it. These oil lamps were very fragile. You know, they're made of clay pots and they could break. And how many women were ever in a fragile state in their life where there are things that could make or break you? But it was the word of the Lord that strengthened you, that someone strengthened you, that you saw God's infinite grace from heaven, didn't even know. You didn't even know, but now you know it was God. It was his infinite grace. If not for his grace, you know, where will we be? And I know that I would not be here if it had not been for God's grace. Not have been for God's grace. And so I'm grateful that. And I realize that I have a responsibility that all that I saw growing up in Golden Heights, where they were believing God for so many things, miraculous things, I was like, they need what? But you know what? It wasn't until I partnered with it that I was able to give resource, that it brought blessing. And now I believe that my husband and I'll be collecting my first Social Security check in August. Thank you, Lord. But I believe that my ladder is greater than the first. That you could go years and years and not see anything. You can plow and plow and not see anything, but like that bamboo tree, when it goes, it's going to go 9 feet high and it's going to be used for so many purposes of sheets. Who would thought you could make sheets out of bamboo? All right. All these things, but that's how God is. And so now we're in our bamboo stage, you know, boo, get it, boo, bamboo stage. Thank you, Lord, for the bamboo stage it just overwhelms me and it amazes me that if I had to live life again where God has called me to be, and you know, people have said a mother of Zion, there's something special about being a mother of Zion. Even if I did not bear one myself, I always felt I was motherly. Those are dynamics that every woman has. Why? Because it's our nature. Every woman has it, whether you've had children or not, whether you've adopted and grafted, or if you lost. It's a nature part of you that God has gifted you with. When the baby got hurt, I realized he came to me. My son came to me, but when he wanted to have fun, he went to Michael. That's all right. That's all right. So I wanted to say this to ladies, because I know I've been there. It's just maybe sometimes you see yourself as being inferior. Maybe the devil has assaulted who you are. Maybe he's trying to bring back a past. Lord knows we all got them. Lord knows, there's some things I didn't want my daddy and mommy to know until they passed on. Why? Because it was shame. But you know what? Grace has been upon me, that I know that there's forgiveness. And I'm very grateful to my parents loving me through all the mess, you know, and that's what I choose to do. Not judge people when they come to talk with me, because you know what? There's a confidence that God wants us to hold for people, because there are not many people women could talk to. But you know what? When you go out and you let your light shine brightly, they're going to be attracted to you. They're going to be able to, their defenses are down, and they're going to say, I went through this. You know, and something maybe you can identify, but I don't have to be in a foxhole to know that they're not bullets coming, that there's something to come and pull me down. I don't have to really experience, but I can understand Jesus, just like Jesus. He experienced everything. We've experienced minimal to what he has done, what Jesus came to do. But you know what? We can help others through. We can help others through. Maybe you've kept your gifts and talents under wraps. Is there anybody here that can identify with that? Because I'm still finding gifts that I've kept under wrap. You know what I'm saying? And you may be shocked when you find out and discover what they really are, what God really wants you to do, his plans and seasons purposes for you. And you know, they've changed from 1942 to 1962 to 1982 to 2002 to now 2022. The needs of this world have changed. So there's always something where we can do and be a part of helping change, of helping encourage. So what I say is that his Holy Spirit is rich within you. He's rich within me. And there's something about we have this earthen vessel, the treasure in this earthen vessel, that is us, that he has given us his excellency of God in us, that we are excellent women of excellence, and that we walk in the excellency, how to carry yourself. That's my biggest thing. You're a mother, listen, and I've told, almost, told women off. I didn't tell them off, but I just kind of told them, you know, I did say that, you know, when you constantly yell at your child, you know, they're going to end up not liking you, and they're going to come short to hating you. And so with this woman, you know, 1 year, 1.5 year old, 2 year olds don't understand full sentences unless they're a genius. But I don't think that was a genius. And so you have to start slow with them. That's why they say mommy, daddy, yes and no. You know what I mean? And so I said, you know, you keep up with that. I didn't have children at that point. But I said, you keep up with that, that child's going to hate you. And there's nothing worse than discord between a mom and a child. That's a hard feeling. I've seen mothers not show up at kids' weddings, and they'll regret it for the rest of their lives. So let us not be women that regret certain decisions, especially when it comes to children or children you love. You know, I'm so grateful for my place that we got nine weddings this year. Yeah, nine weddings. You know what? But each of them, those women that are getting married, call me mom. Yeah. Yeah. They treat me like their mother. I talk to them like I was their mother. I've helped them where their mom couldn't. Because, you know, wisdom goes beyond your gender. Wisdom goes beyond your status. You know, whether you birth, like I said, whether you birth them or not, you can whoop them or you can love them. You know, either one. So I say that time has come for us to come out of that bushel. If any of you are in a bushel, let the Holy Spirit light your wick. If you are willing and yielding to the Holy Spirit, I invite you to let the Holy Spirit operate fully in your life. I've seen people that when they got saved and when they operated in the Holy Spirit, you would say, who is that woman? But you're glad because what? They've yielded to what God wanted them to. You don't have to be wild. You don't have to be, that is not, you know what? That's just one aspect. You know, you don't have to be wild, but what you do have to be is yielding, obedient. Why waste time buying into the devil's lies? Why waste time? You know, I always tell people, when you hear this, especially because I learned it from a wonderful woman who was not even my, we were about the same age, but she said, when the devil comes to you, talking in your ear, hang up on that conversation. I love that. I'd be hanging up. Get out of here, devil. Hang up on that conversation. You know why? Because it's almost like, you know, I don't know if y'all are getting all these phone calls from all, you know, spam. I hate spam. I didn't like it in a can, and I don't like it on my phone. You know, and you don't know what they're saying, and you know that you get the ones from China, you know, and everything. It's like annoying. You know, and I hang up, and I love doing it, but you know what? I can do something to avert it again. So what we do is we hear it, we hang up, and we move to improve to avert what the enemy would want to do. If there's certain areas in your life that you know the devil's harassing you or haranguing you on, you take a note, take a lesson, and take a move. And you move towards what God says about you and not what the enemy wants to bring back to you. Whether it was an act that you've done, whether it was part of your history, you know, certain things I can't even remember. You know why? Because when you get to the point of doing something that God has called you, you don't keep account of it. God keeps account of that. So if I'm going to, half the stuff I don't remember I used to do, and I'm thankful to God for the evil, the bad, as well as the good. I let God keep that account for me, and I'm grateful that I can do that. Because you know why? I got to stand before him anyway. And Lord, let it be where I can present crowns to you. Let it be that my dad can be proud of me. That's what every woman wants, is for a father to be proud of them. And every son that loves his mother wants to please his mom. And I have men, hey ma, and they'll say that before their own mom. And we had a kid whose mother was out on the streets. They would barely see her time and time again. She'd come in off the streets doing drugs and everything. And we've had our home where we've let people, young people, come stay as a respite. So some have stayed months, and I'm so grateful for what God has done in their life. This one kid, you know, he is top manager in regional in Wegmans. He had a scholarship to go to RIT. However, he chose to say, Lord, you need me to take care of my family. And he started from pushing a cart to working his way up, bought homes for his father who was doing drugs also, his sister who had a young child, and now he has a wife and two kids and has a mansion pretty much so in Greece. But he called me mom. That's what you produce whether they call you mom. I should write a song, they call me mom. Call it WOW for short. WOW, mom spelled backwards. Right? Okay. Don't make this decision so that you don't have to be placed in a box of insecurity. That's the one box I hate. I like stuff in boxes, but don't bring me the box of insecurity, because it makes you second guess yourself when God says, I'm 100% in him. I am the fullness of the Lord, that he has given me a mind. Stop telling yourself you're not as good or talented as others, and start asking God what he has given you for his glory. We had this thing, his story. Well, yeah, his story for his glory. My story is not what I was, but what I am in Christ. That has become my story. That is his story, so that we can change history. Thank you, Lord. Don't neglect the gifts that God has given you. You know, my dad's Spanish. I don't know how to speak Spanish. I only know how to eat it. And my issue is that, you know what? I regret, you know, we did Spanish. And if you don't use it, you lose it. You know, and So, you know, one day when we stop and slow down, I'm going to do two things. Learn Spanish and learn how to play the piano. Because every good pastor's wife knows how to play piano. I just want to say this truthfully. If you could, your confession, your prayer is that. And things to consider. Are you using all your gifts and talents? Are you reluctant to step out in faith and let those gifts and talents work? What is stopping you from being all that God has planned for you to be? Think of a moment in your life. Assess the various ways you are using your gifts and talents. Those potholders that were made? Come teach our kids. We have lost the things that have made households what they are. We've lost the gifts. You know, the integrity of what God has in store for, even just those little things. Like, we look at the kids now and like, man, we grew up in good times because we understood what it was for the things that God had planned for kids. So if you grew up in the 50s and 60s, you had it good. You had it good. You had the best generation. The 40s and 30s and 40s, we had the bravest generation. Now we've got the brassiest generation now. Brassiest. Don't care. Disrespectful. You know what? But as long as my finger can go in their face, oh no. I don't know who you're talking to. No, it's not going to happen. Not today. Not today. You know why? Because the enemy wants us to stop correcting. The enemy wants us to stop interfering. But you know, I'm tired of him coming in the way. So we can proclaim as a mother heart. That's why I like hearts, because I have the mother heart of God. You have the mother heart of God. That you can say, Lord, what is it you have that you want me to show this child today? However you choose to do it, whatever sphere of influence that you have. And he has given us many spheres to work in. If you're a teacher, I know you're frustrated. But you know what? God is with you and you're making a difference. So I just want to pray, because I'm not going to hold you on because it's Mother's Day. And Lord, your richest treasure is in us. We surrender now to a full supply of the Holy Spirit. We are called. We are equipped. We are anointing to do great things that you've prepared in advance for us to do. And I thank you, Lord, that you release my light to shine wherever I go. Lord, I thank you even now that we confess that we are stepping out of the shadows, that we are releasing our gifts. We have a decision to let our light shine so that I can be a blessing to others. I will not put myself down any longer. I will no longer hide my light and life under a bushel. I am filled to the brim in his Holy Spirit oil. His fire is burning brightly in me. I thank you, Lord, that as I declare this by faith in Jesus' name, that don't be attracted to me if the enemy's going to send you to come try to dim my light. Ladies, you have a bright future. Get your shades on. Get your shades on. And one of the reasons why I say that is there was a commercial that I've seen on television, and it's an Amazon commercial, and you've seen the one about Medusa. Have you seen that one about Medusa? Y'all know who Medusa is in the Greek mythology. She was the woman with the snakes on the heads, you know, and they had to get the helmet, you know. We learned all of that in Greek. And every time she came to people, she wanted to be a friend, but they would turn to stone. So then she grabbed the phone, called and ordered a pair of shades, sunglasses, so that she could learn to socialize with people. And so it was really cool. I said, I like those glasses. And actually, I bought a pair because they looked really dope. They were just so cool. And my sister likes them, so I'm going to order her a pair. But you know what? God is shining around you. There's brightness in you. Man, I have my shoes. They're bright. You know why? Because I'm walking on his territory. I'm bright in the light of Jesus Christ. And I pray that I can continue to drop jewels wherever I go. It's funny. My friend calls me Jules, but jewels. You know, that we would be light. And I did this very quickly, and then I'm going to end. Is that in our light, let us love unconditionally. Let us walk in integrity. You know, there are times where my son had to call things out, and I go, you're right. You're right. Even my great niece said, Aunt Sissy, you did this, and you told us not to. I said, you know what? You're right. I am so sorry. I am so sorry. Be willing to be corrected, right? Be willing to be corrected and open to that. That you are genuine in his grace. Nobody likes phony people. No one wants phony. Kids, people, women want something real. I'm put in a position where my husband and I minister together, so it frees me to minister to men and to women, and I usually have my husband there, but men that have grown up in the ministry, oh no, I don't need his permission. I'm your mama. You know, I'm not breaking any, quote, ministry rules here. Let us walk as vessel of healing. That when we bring that healing, it's because we understand hope. That there's always hope to a situation. I go and I believe, I'm like, whose report are you going to believe? Thank God for the praise reports. Whose report will you believe? I'm glad he gave us doctors. Praise the Lord. But you know what? We stand as a vessel of hope. I'm not going to be like Joseph, man, you should just give up and die. No. There's always that one person. And you know what? I've seen people on their last leg and their ears is the last thing to go. And they need to hear you, whether they're going to go or not, they need to hear hope. They need to hear something that'll help them hang on. You know what? And we possess that. We possess that. You know, we think ahead. You know, we think about households and things like that, and we know how to think ahead. Sometimes I think too quickly for my mouth, or my mouth goes quicker than my mind. So, and let us be truth bearers. Let's hold up that bloodstained banner, that's our truth, that it could be your truth too, that we can go out saying, Jesus, I am yours, you are mine. I live for you. I will die for you. Greater love hath no man that he would give his life for a friend. And I think about that. Lord, what if you call that to me? I am willing. Let us be women of sacrifice. Let us women that have died to ourselves so that we may help others live. And on that note, I thank you, Lord, for this time. I thank you that I didn't do preaching, but I had my heart. And that's just... this is such an emotional day for me because I'm standing before my dad. I had the blessing of telling my father, you love Jesus, he loves you, and heaven's waiting for you. You can go. And I know he was sent to heaven, but it wasn't able to send my help direct my earthly father, if not been for my heavenly father and my spiritual father. And I'm thankful because that's a triangle that I'm connected to. Jesus the head, my father, and my spiritual father. And I'm thankful for that. It has made me the woman that I am. And I hope that there are opportunities that where God would say, Julia, I'm not done with you yet. There's still always more. There's more. And don't give up. Whatever you do, ladies, don't give up. God has something strong he wants to do in this last days. There's going to be people getting saved here in this area that they're going to need someone to walk through things with them. You don't let go because it's hard. You cling greater because that's the best testimony. The ones that people forgot, that you can see them now, just like Finney, drunkards getting saved. Drug addicts getting healed, delivered. Women getting healed and delivered. Thank you, Lord, that he's given us that opportunity as an earthen vessel that is fragile, but we are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. God bless you. God keep you. God cause his face to shine upon you as we enjoy this day celebrating, Lord, the woman that you are, the mother that you are, the sister, the grandmother, the wife, whatever you are as a woman, we celebrate you today. And I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you so much. Let's all stand together. And thank you, Julia. God bless you. I love you. Praise God. I'm just going to close with a song. And I just, there's the one thing I just want, you know, it just really touched my heart about the light. You know, she talked about the Herodian lamps and such like that. And, you know, sometimes we think about why. You know, why, a lot of the motivation of why we try to stir ourselves up and be close to the Lord and let that light shine is sometimes just too much for us. And, but what Julie was saying is it's about reaching others and just making a difference in the lives of others. So Jan, worship team, would you just, it's in D, okay? You got that? It's in D. All right, let's worship the Lord. Let your light shine and don't hide it under a bushel and touch the lives of those around you. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. God bless you.